So I got to repeat what he just said? He tells me I have to repeat what I just said, okay? A very good morning to everyone. The saints in Toronto have asked that I bring their love and greetings to you here. And they are personal greetings from every Jamaican you can find in Toronto. And it's going to take me all the time that I'm here, and I'll have to come back to bring those greetings. But greetings to all of you from all the Jamaicans in the assemblies in Toronto. When you receive a phone call that amounts to, you can't say no and you must say yes. I'm not sure what to do, but I can tell you when I put down the phone and looked at it and realized I did answer the phone, I exceedingly feared and quaked. Because the topic that was shared with me and I'm supposed to share on is not one that one can speak glibly about. And I found it very interesting that the brethren here in Jamaica do not have any conflicts. Wonderful. But let me warn you. It is impossible that offenses do not come. Consequently, one is either in a conflict or coming out of a conflict or going into a conflict. Brethren, I pray for you. Because if you don't have conflicts, they are coming. They are certainly coming. So let us be real about this. Personally, we do have conflicts. In families, we have conflicts. In assemblies, turn with me to Genesis 13. Conflict started as far as Genesis 4. You only need two brothers, and you will have conflict. Chapter 4 of Genesis tells you about conflict. Genesis 13, verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and Perizzite dwelt in the land. And Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife between my herdmen and thy herdmen. Pardon me, I missed this. Let there be no strife between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then will I go to the right. If thou depart to the right, then will I go to the left. If you easily overlook the situation between Cain and Abel, you cannot easily overlook with Lot, Abram and Lot. But when it comes to conflict, you're going to have a great need. A need of a man of faith and humility and vision. A man of faith who recognizes that God had given him the land, and yet he said, you take whatever you want. I'm not going to insist on my rights that God has given me this land, and therefore I will tell you where to go. No, no. A man of faith who has confidence in God, that what God has given him is for him, and he will have it. But he also has to be a man of humility. Abram, the older man, looks at Lot and says, you make the choice. Make the choice. You know, sometimes it is very necessary among us, when it comes to matters of conflict, to put it to our brethren. You make the choice. Not only a man of humility, but a man of vision. If you take the left, I'll take the right. Be brethren. There is no reason why we should be fighting. I'm just going to read another verse. And if you think the Old Testament was the only place you had conflict, think again. Acts chapter 13. Verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The scripture gives us five names of men, brothers, who were in the local assembly. And if we look at them, the scripture refers to what they were in the past, before they were in the meeting. There was Barnabas, and we know who Barnabas was. He was a Levite from the country of Cyprus, and he was a landowner. Now, if you read the Old Testament, there was no connection between a Levite and owning land. But here was a man who was a Levite and a landowner living in Cyprus. Where should the Levites have been? They should have been around Jerusalem or in the cities of refuge. But he, a Levite, a landowner, living in Cyprus. And there was Simeon, who was called Niger. Here's the man who knew that he was black. And he let others know. His nickname was, "Say it loud, I'm black and I'm proud." Then we have Lucius of Cyrene. Here was a nationalist. You had to know where Lucius was from. And it wasn't because his speech betrayed him. No, he let you know, "I am from Cyrene. I am from that country. That's my nation." And then you had Manaen that was brought up with Herod the Tetrarch. You know who I pitch marbles with? Herod the Tetrarch. I move in aristocratic circles. And there was Saul, who profited in the Jews' religion above his fellows that were at Jerusalem. The Spirit of God makes us aware of who these people were, what they were. But did this matter when they were in the meeting? No. Because they were ministering, in verse 2, to the Lord. Not to Christ, not to Jesus, but to the Lord. In other words, they were subject to him in their ministry. So what they were, though it is important to note, it was also helpful to recognize what they were, because it shows you where God had brought them from, what he had brought them to, and how he used them in his assembly. They ministered to the Lord. And as they ministered, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So he takes two of these men, the Spirit of God takes two of these men, and separates them for a work. It was a work unto the Lord, a work from the Lord, a work directed by the Spirit of God. Who could mess with that? Well, you want to know who? Read chapter 15, verse 36. "After some days, Paul said unto Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of God and see how they do.' And Barnabas was determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them who had departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other." Where the Spirit of God had brought these men together to do the work of the Lord, family ties broke it up. Family ties broke it up. One would have thought, the Spirit of God has brought these men together. One would have thought they had ministered to the Lord, and he said by the Holy Ghost, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." One would have thought nothing could ever break that bond. But family ties did that. Brethren, if you're not in a crisis, you're coming out of a crisis. And if you're in coming out of a crisis, you're going into one. Why is this? What is the cause of conflict? I want you to draw your attention to two verses. One is in Proverbs chapter 13. Proverbs chapter 13. Verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride cometh contention. Mr. Darby's translation says, by pride there only cometh contention. The contention was so sharp between them. Was Barnabas seeking for a position for John Mark, his nephew? I do not know. Only God knows. But this I know from the context of Paul's dealings with him. Paul was not saying, sorry, bub. You're out, you're gone, you're done. That's it. He was before God that this young man needed training. So that when we come to 2 Timothy, bring Mark with thee. He is profitable for the ministry. He had matured. So what was it? Only by pride comes contention. And we see this played out in the assembly at Corinth. Some says, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I'm of Christ. Chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And the apostle in writing to them says, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And here's the problem. It is one thing to be carnal, that is to be a possessor of a sinful nature. Each of us possesses a sinful nature. But it is another thing to be carnal and walk as men, that is to be dominated by that sinful nature. And the problem with contention is, there is the domination of the sinful nature in the heart of the individual. That's why there's contention. And brethren, if we are honest with ourselves, we have to realize that in every locality there is contention. Every locality. We cannot fool ourselves that there is not contention among us. That's why Joseph said to his brethren, see that you fall not out by the way. You think he meant falling off the cliff or something like this? No. He knew that they would start fussing with each other. You did it and you did it. No, I didn't do it. You did it. Now I've learned that when we point fingers, three point back at us. So I notice some people pointing like this these days. Among the assemblies, we point like this, failing to realize that's not how you point, that's not point at all. You're fooling yourself. There is contention to be faced. It's only by pride that we can have contention, dominated by a sinful nature. And what's the cure? Recently, somebody was talking about finding a magic bullet to cure the economy. But if he found a magic bullet, he probably would kill everybody in the world. I want to suggest three scriptures when we talk about the cure for contention, the cure for conflict, how to resolve conflict. When I received the invitation in relation to this, I went through my stock of old tapes and found a tape from 1993 that said, elimination of conflicts and factions and divisions among the brethren, 1993. And I listened to it, And I said to myself, I wonder if our brethren who heard this tale have been able to take the advice in relation to how to eliminate factions and divisions among the people of God, as was given in 1993. I must confess, the fact that it came up this time in the conference here suggests that we're still a little way in getting the answers right. So I have no new answer. Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 5. We can go through all the scriptures before and see all the things that were said there, also on the tape. But I just want to draw your attention to verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The first word there in the authorized version is let. And the concept behind that expression let is that I can prevent it. It does not happen automatically. I can decide, I do not care what you say. I am going to continue as I am doing because I know I am right. So he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What? Is he speaking to the assembly that we said was a gospel-minded assembly? Yes, he is. And you know what was the problem? At least one of the problems? Read chapter 4. I beseech Euodias and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. There was a conflict among the sisters. Wow. A conflict among sisters. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now go back and look at this other verse. Let nothing be done through strife. That's my attitude to the other, or vainglory, my attitude to myself. You know who did that? H. Hall. Please understand that. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When we read the epistle to the Romans, in the epistle to the Romans, he tells us how we got peace with God between chapters 1 to 5, how we got the peace of God between chapters 6 and 8, and then he tells us that we can have the God of peace between chapters 12 to 16. And one of the interesting things about that section is 14 times we read one another, one another, one another. How we should react and behave to one another. And then he says in chapter 15 and verse 33, the God of peace be with you. Brethren, we do need the God of peace. We have peace with God. There's nobody who is in the meeting among the brethren who will say he doesn't have peace with God. There are those of us who know what it is to have the peace of God. But do we know what it is to have the presence of the God of peace? We need the presence of the God of peace. Because when it comes to human hearts, there is conflict. Mr. Kelly says, the innate desire to engage in strife is there in the human heart. The third script I want to turn your attention to, and I'm going to close, is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. 2 Timothy 2, 24. And the servant of Christ. No, I'm not reading a different translation. The servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord. Your servant of the Lord? Does he have absolute, total control over you? The servant of the Lord shall not strive? No, must not strive. In other words, he will not give way to the domination of his sinful nature. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Here is what I want to say about this verse. We must follow the example, says Peter, of the Lord Jesus, the one he gave us in 1 Peter 2:21-22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And here is it. When he reviled not again. In other words, I'm going to hit you on the cheek. I had a colleague, friend in Nassau. We used to do Bible reading together, and he kept asking me all the time, you know, the Lord says, turn the other cheek. He says, when I run out of cheeks, you fella better run. Now, he was a person who boasted before he got saved that everybody in his unit, and he was in the Coast Guard in Nassau, everybody in his unit he could be. The servant of the Lord, the bondman of the Lord, the slave of the Lord must not strive. Doesn't say he shall not strive, but must not. It is logically necessary that as the servant of the Lord, he must not strive. And strive there is a nice, polite word for fight or quarrel or row. I think you use this word in Jamaica. Rowing? Yeah, you know what I mean then. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all men. And I understand it's the word that is used in relation to a nurse and children, or a teacher with a really difficult student, and a parent with a child. Must not strive, but be gentle to all men. Brethren, can we say that? That we are gentle to all men? That we do not strive? Patient. And I always thought that meant, okay, let's slide. But it says patient, that word means patiently bearing with evil. Not with people who are tough, with evil. Patiently bearing with evil. And then it says instructing. And the concept also includes correcting. Correcting those that oppose or set themselves in opposition. And I missed something. I hope you notice what I missed. In meekness. In meekness. Here is the working of the Spirit of God. Bring the fruit of the Spirit that comes out in an attitude of heart that honors the Lord. So brethren, it is impossible not that offenses are not going to come. And we know the cause of this. And the Word of God gives us the cure. May God help us to take the cure for His name's sake.